Thank y'all. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Love you. God's good, ain't he? Amen. You know what a testimony is? It's telling what you know, what you saw, or what you experienced. You put a witness on a stand in court. I'm sure Brother West deals with that on a regular basis. You go in a court of law and you put a witness on a stand. All a witness can tell is what he saw. Or what he knows, amen. Somebody said, boy, I wish I had a testimony like so-and-so. Boy, thank God for the testimony you got. Yes, amen. Thank God for your testimony. Yes. I mean, if you're saved, we all got saved the same way. Yes. May have been different circumstances in different places, but you have a personal testimony, and nobody has one just like yours, amen. Amen. And that's a blessing, man. I appreciate that. Take your Bible and go to Mark chapter number 4. The Lord gave me something this morning while I was preaching, and if you were in the sanctuary this morning, it may sound a little bit repetitive to you. I'm going to revisit, in a way, the message we preached this morning. I just got a thought tonight, and I'd honestly thought I was just going to have Brother Charles preach tonight, and the Lord said, no, you need to go on and give that little thought that I gave you, even if you have to squeak through it. Whether your voice is clear or not, they'll still get the message. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter number 4, I never thought I'd preach another message out of this passage of Scripture right here. I preach from here over and over and over again. And that's the thing about the Bible. It's there's something fresh there all the time. Mark chapter number 4 and verse 35 through 41, there's no telling at the times I've read that portion of Scripture. I've preached there's two messages, a boat ride with Jesus and then the master of the sea. I've preached those two messages all across this country. I don't even use an outline anymore. I know it by heart. And so I've been here many times, and it's amazing to me how God can take a verse or a passage of Scripture that is so in the forefront of my mind so many times and show me something that in a way that I hadn't never seen it. Amen? Most books, you read them one time, there ain't no sense to read it again because it's going to be the same every single time. Old Yeller is still Old Yeller. Amen? Ain't many books out there fitting to read, but Old Yeller's one of them. Where the Red Fern Grows, that's another one, amen. I've read those books when I was little, but when I was done, I was done. There was no need to read it again. Why? Because it's going to be the same thing it was the last time I read it. But this book's a little bit different, amen. It's a living book, and it gives me what I need when I need it. So, with that said, look at Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. The Bible said the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let's just stop right there. If Jesus invites you in the boat, and he's in the boat, you're going to the other side. Yes, you got to understand that. You're going to the other side. Yes, he knew where they were going. He had an appointment with a man full of demons on the shore on the other side waiting on him to get there. They were going to the other side. In the middle of the story, they had huge doubt. Sometimes you're going to doubt. But you just bank on it, honey. If the Lord invites you in his boat, and that's what he did when you got saved, spiritually speaking. Amen. We're in the old ship of Zion, thank God. And we're going to the other side. Amen. I don't think people fall out on the way either. Amen. The Bible said, when they had sent away the multitude, in verse 36, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. The Bible said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now, say the word with me, full. If I fill this bottle of water up, which is not quite full now, but if I take the lid off this bottle and fill it up, how much more can I put in there? No more. Now we know the story. They woke Jesus. The Bible said he's in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they awoke him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. And then all their minds were blown away at what they had saw. And then he said, "How is it that you have no faith?" But I want to look at this one little portion tonight, and we hit on it this morning in the message. So that it was now full. So that it was now full. If I fill this bottle, like I said, it'll get to a point where it can't take anymore. Do you ever feel like that as a Christian? Do you ever feel like that as a husband, a mother, or dad, an employee? Do you ever, or a student? Do you ever feel like, I don't know if I can take any more of this? Full. I'm reminded of the day Sister Sheila called, and I was standing in my driveway, and her voice was so broken. I can't remember. We got so much bad news with Ashley, Brother David. I couldn't remember which one it was, but it was one of those days. And Sheila had Harley, and you and David were at the hospital, and she was broken. I mean, just as broke. And boy, I tell you, that does something to a pastor's heart if he really loves his people. And so right there in the driveway, I just broke with her, and she was full and I was full, and she was saying, "Brother Eddie, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" There was some news that y'all had to tell her, so I can't remember what it was. But I'm telling you, man, I had no answer. She said, "Brother Eddie, I don't know if I can take this." I thought, I don't see how, I didn't say it, but I thought, I don't see how you can either. Yeah. I mean, man, I'm human too. Amen. I know we sometimes want you to think we're super spiritual and all that, but we're not, man. We're just people. It's all we are. And I'm telling you, she'd had about all she could stand. I just got on my face there in the yard, man, about to get tore up. I just got on my face there in the yard, and I said, "God, you promised us that you wouldn't put more than we could stand. Now, God, she's full. She's had about all she can take. God, give her some peace." Talked to her later that day. She said, "I'm much better." Hallelujah. Amen. Even when your ship gets full, we serve a Savior who will keep you afloat. We've got some fishermen in the church. Brother Tony and I, we love to fish. And Brother Tony used to fish bass tournaments, and me too. And we can tell you what happens when a boat is full. By all means, this boat should have sank. But there was somebody in the boat. Y'all ain't getting it. All right. I said this boat should have sank, but there was somebody in the boat. How many times in your life since you've been saved should your boat have sank? Let me ask you again. How many times, rehearse it in your mind, how many times should your boat have sank were it not for the passenger on board? Were it not for the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart and in your life, I don't know how we'd make it through some of these things. Stephanie, I don't know how we'd deal with Tanner over and over and over. I don't know how we could deal with the funeral homes and the heartaches. And Sheila, I don't know how you could deal with your brother being in the hospital without the passenger who's sailing on this journey with you. Their boat should have sank, but there was somebody on board. Listen, I hope there's somebody on board tonight in your heart. I hope Jesus is in the boat with you. Their boat was now full. Full. I'm probably speaking to some full boats tonight. Had about all you can stand. I don't know how many times I've made this statement. I don't know how much more of this I can take. A few years ago when we had all those funerals, I mean, I'm talking about in a year's time, over 100 funeral homes. That'd take a toll on you, man. And, bro, I fell on my face. I even sought help like I told you to do this morning. And, bro, I couldn't find nobody that had any help for me. They didn't know what to tell me. They said, I never had that many funerals. I don't know, bro. I'll be praying for you. That's about all I could get. Man, I got to a point where I was so broken and so depressed. Man, I said, "God, I can't take any more of this." My phone would ring, and it would make me sick to my stomach. You get around enough heartache, but it starts to have an effect on you. Yeah. Amen. My boat was full. God had to put me through that for a reason. I'm still not 100% sure what it was, but I know he had a reason for it. Maybe to make me a better pastor. I don't know. But my boat was full. And I had to let him know my boat was full. And I couldn't take any more of it. We keep trying to bear stuff on ourselves. And we need to unload the boat.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now listen, there are some good things for your boat to be full of. There's some bad things to be your boat to be filled with. I want to ask you this question tonight, give you this thought, and we'll go home. What's filling your boat? What is filling your vessel? You're not going to walk around empty. Something's going to fill every void in your life, whether it's a good thing or whether it's a bad thing. Are you listening? I remember when I first got saved, or before I got saved, when I was a kid growing up, all they ever told me was what you couldn't do, what you couldn't do, where you couldn't go, what you couldn't watch, what you couldn't listen to, what you couldn't wear. They never did tell me what I could do.
Amen.
All they was doing was pouring the water out. They wasn't putting nothing back in to replace it. And when you try to do that, you're just an empty vessel and you're not going to make it. You're going to fill it with something.
Yeah.
I mentioned those Ranger bass boats this morning. And if anybody got it on your heart to donate one, I'd be glad to take it off your hand. But those Ranger bass boats, and used to in their commercials, they would have five or six people standing on one of those boats out in the water, and they would have total sections cut out of the hull. I mean, they'd have a hole, a big square hole in the bottom about that big around, and a big cut out of the side, and they'd have old Forrest Wood, the founder of Ranger boats, and they'd have several of them people, professional fishermen, standing in that boat, and that boat would be floating. Because they had injected that thing with something that was buoyant. Between the two hulls of that boat, they'd stick that liquid styrofoam and they'd fill that boat up. So no matter what you did to it, it could not sink. So there are some good things for your boat to be filled with. It's good if your boat is filled. I'm talking about your spiritual life now when I'm talking about your boat. It's good that your boat is filled with the scriptures from the Word of God. Amen. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He said, "It's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." Hey, this Bible will help you.
Yes,
amen. There's no telling, I mentioned this the other day, there's no telling how many times somebody on a job somewhere or someplace have asked me a Bible question. And it always makes me nervous when people say, "Can I ask you a Bible question?" I'm like, "Oh, I hope I can answer it." Amen. Call Brother Charles. Amen. And it's amazing how many times people ask those questions and something I really didn't think I knew.
Yeah.
Them scriptures just start coming to my mind.
Amen.
Have you ever had that happen?
Amen.
Somebody ask you something, I just catch you totally off guard. Say, "Hey, do you believe in eternal security?" You say, "Well, yeah, I do." "Well, why do you believe it?" And all of a sudden, the Lord just starts loading your wagon, man.
Yeah.
Amen. You know why? Because it's in there. Because it's in there. Have you ever had somebody on your job going through a divorce or going through some problem and they needed some comfort from the Word of God and the Lord gave you some scripture to give to them that you had read somewhere? You don't have it memorized, but it's in there. And the Lord can pull that thing up at any given time. So listen, there is no danger of reading your Bible too much. It will not hurt you. Amen. It will not hurt you. Hey, there's some things. You smoke cigarettes. You smoke five packs of cigarettes a day. You're going to die sooner or later. Why? Because your boat can't handle too much nicotine.
Yeah.
Are you all right? It poisons your body, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. There's only so much of it you can take. But the scriptures, you can't overdo. I've never heard of anybody overdosing on the Bible.
Yeah.
I've never heard. Let me say it again. Never heard of anybody ODing on the scripture. I'm talking about some good things. And like that foam that they inject in the Ranger boat, the more of the power of the Word of God that's hid in your heart, the higher you're going to float.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And when the bad stuff's trying to fill your vessel, there's no room for it.
Amen.
There's no room for it. Why? Because it's full of this. Amen. Hey, good things to fill your boat with, the scriptures, sermons. You need preaching. You need prayer. Hey, I didn't invent this. God did. God, Lord said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "That preacher's crazy." That's what I'm supposed to be to this world.
Yeah.
This world's supposed to be that guy's nuts. Hey, man, when the apostles first come on the scene preaching, they thought they was drunk. Don't tell me they was all reverend in a robe.
Right.
Don't tell me that, but they thought them boys was drunk. They come out preaching like wildfire, son.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, they didn't get this. Hey, if they'd have been just like the rabbis in the temple, hey, it wouldn't have made no difference. There's something different about these guys. They said, man, them dudes own something. They high as a kite, and they were on Jesus, amen? Are you listening to me? Now, I'm telling you, preaching ought to be different than some presidential speech somewhere. We're not orators, we're preachers. Amen, and you need preaching. Are you listening to me? I got stacks of CDs that high. When I drive on trips, I dig through there and I pick out some preaching tapes. Hey, there's a few of them I listen to over and over again. There's a few of them I listen to over. Hey, when I was a kid, we didn't have CDs. We had cassette tapes. And for that, we had 8-track. Some of y'all don't know what an 8-track is, do you? Amen. You had track 1, had so many songs. Track 2, had so many. Track 3 and track 4. And that's how you listened to, I mean, you could skip tracks, but you couldn't fast forward and you couldn't do all that. Y'all remember that? Sounded like, it was awful. It didn't sound good at all. Amen. But I remember I had y'all pray for me, okay? I had a Lynyrd Skynyrd 8-track in my 1968 Volkswagen. And me and, you remember it, don't you, Brother Greg? And me and Roger Bush had ride to work together at Six Flags. And we listened to Skynyrd every single day going to Six Flags. That same tape, that same 8-track tape every day. And whatever track, Sweet Home Alabama, it had Sweet Home Alabama and Give Me 3 Steps and Give Me Back My Bullets was all, I'm getting spiritual to somebody in here. I can see it. I can see it in y'all's eyes. Y'all going, I'm with you, bro. Hey, listen, it was all on the same track. And we'd listen to that track over and over and over and over. It never got old. But boy, let a preacher preach a rerun. You go, I've heard that before. Yeah. Well, it didn't help you none last time, so it won't hurt you to hear it again. Yeah. It didn't take last time, so I'm telling you, you need preaching. Yeah. Somebody said, well, I'll just stay home and get the CD. You ask Miss Kay and Brother Philip if it's the same. Yeah, it ain't the same, man. It ain't the same. And boy, you get accustomed to a diet of Bible preaching. Nothing else will satisfy you. Amen. Hey, fill your boat with the scriptures. Fill your boat with sermons. Amen. I got a couple of preachers I listen to. I don't agree with everything they say, but they're mean as a stinking devil. I listen to them because they'll help me. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I need somebody to bop me upside the head every now and then. I'm a hard case, man. Amen. Y'all all right? Yes, sir. We ought to fill our vessel with scripture, with sermons. We ought to fill our vessel with the right kind of songs. Amen. With the right kind of songs. Man, when they stood there tonight and sang that What Love, man, can you just see Mary watching her darling son go down that Via Doloroso road carrying the cross, bearing my sin and your sin? Can you see that? What love, man. Man, every time I hear that song, I can't get over how much he loves me. I learned to sing it when I was a little bitty boy. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I had no idea what I was singing about. But when I was 19 years old, for the first time I experienced and felt the love of God in my life. Amen. Amen. What love. Man, the right kind of songs will stir you up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The right kind of songs will stir you up. Now listen, this may sound a little odd to you, but I'm a little odd. If I'm on my way to a funeral home to be with a family that I don't know very well, brother, there's certain kind of music that I don't need to listen to before I get there. Yes. You know what music's for? It sets the tone. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. I don't need to listen to no fast bluegrass gospel. Amen. I need to hear songs about heaven. Yeah. Are you listening? I need to hear songs about help and songs about hope, something that'll prepare my heart to be what I need to be for that family. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. You don't tell me music don't affect you. Yes, you know good and well it does. Amen. Amen. I was on the speed team at the Hiram skating rink when I was a teenager. Brother Greg, you remember that too, probably? There's probably some things I wish you did not remember. But I could literally fly on a set of skates. And every time we had a meet or a race, The guy who run the skating rink, he'd always play the same song. He said, your time is 2 to 3 seconds faster when we play that song. Life in the fast lane. No. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Life in the fast lane. Son, we'd hunker. I'm telling you, it would affect us. Amen. I don't think Beulah Land would have got us fired up. I'm telling you, music affects you. It'll affect the way you react to other people. It'll affect the way you react to people on your job. Hey, you ought to fill that boat with some good singing. Amen. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how you have to, some of you have been in church all your life and you can't sing these hymns without a hymn book? Everywhere I go, man, I always sit right there somewhere around the front row, you know, and places I'm preaching. Never fails. Every time they start singing, somebody will try to hand me a hymn book. Unless I'm in one of them weird churches, I say, I don't need it. Now, if I'm up north, yeah, give me that, because they sing stuff you ain't never heard in your life. And we get to heaven, you'll never hear again. Amen. I'm serious, heart attack, man. It's dragging. I'm like, oh, come on. That's bad when they go to sleep in the preaching, but buddy, when you're out during the congregational singing, that's real bad, amen? Isn't it funny? I can walk through the mall or the store, and I can hear a song, and I can sing that thing word for word. Something like Bad Company, Sweet Home Alabama. Are y'all listening? Word for word, Slow Ride. I'm telling you, them words are ingrained in my head. And you are the same exact way. Amen. I somewhere the other day, and I heard that old Otis Redding song, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Wasn't that Otis Redding, Brother Sam? That's somebody old enough to remember, amen? I heard that old Otis Redding. That thing was in my head all day long. Oh, y'all with me, Brother Charles, with me right there. All day long. Brother Charles felt me right there, amen. I mean, it was. But you come to church and you can't remember Amazing Grace. You know what that is? That's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Hey, let's fill our boat. Let's fill our boat with the scripture. Let's fill our boat with sermons, good preaching. Good preaching. Now listen, I can listen. I'm old enough and I've been around enough. I can listen to some of these guys that ain't 100% doctrinally straight and I can get some help out of it. But if you're not careful, be careful who you listen to, because you'll get some hurt out of it. Amen. You'll get some hurt out of it. It'll mess you up. Amen. There's one preacher, some of our preacher boys some years back, they had a sack full of tapes and was going around, and it hurt our boys. It hurt some of our preacher boys. And I had to say, hey, I love this guy. I know him personally. I love him. But some of the stuff he ain't right on. Amen. Amen. If you're not careful, if you're not really, really, really rooted and grounded, you make sure you listen to the right kind of preaching. Somebody will talk you out of your salvation. Somebody will talk you into believing that you're a higher race or that you're better than somebody else because of the color of their skin. Amen. They'll make you prejudiced in a heartbeat. Y'all all right? So be careful, but you need preaching. You need preaching. I remember one time I was preaching a message. I don't know if y'all remember it or not. That message where I used the chairs and I preach on Israel and Jacob. Same person, two natures. The spiritual nature and the carnal nature. And I talked about how to make the spiritual man stronger than the carnal man. Remember what it was? Feed the one and starve the other. Feed the one and starve the other. For years, we've taken kids to youth camp, and by the end of the week, we've seen their lives totally changed. It's because their diet totally changed. Yeah. They're a week at camp with no TV, no iPods, and all that stuff. Brother Barry said they ought to call them ear pods because it goes in your ear, not your eye. Amen? They're without that music, all they're getting is preaching and godly singing. And, buddy, it changes you. Amen? Amen. And in that sermon, I always said, take a 7-day challenge. Anytime you'd be watching TV, try and read your Bible. Anytime you'd be listening to the radio, be listening to preaching or some good gospel singing. Amen. What it does, it purges you. Amen. And we ought to fill our boat with supplication, prayer. The Lord said, pray without ceasing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. That we ought to pray. We ought to pray. Brother Anthony's sitting here because of prayer tonight. Sister Ashley is sitting here because of prayer tonight. Many of you are sitting here. Miss Kay is sitting there, and Brother Philip is sitting there because of prayer tonight. On and on and on we could go. You are here because answer to prayer. And some of you aren't prayer from comas and head trauma and cancer. Some of you here because of prayer, because of sin and because of hard things happening in your life and relationship. Hey, and you've been prayed through it and prayed out of it. Paul, I believe you're sitting there tonight because of prayer. And bet I sure appreciate how faithful you've been here lately. It blesses my heart. And if I could go through the old prayer sheets, I could show you week after week after week after week where your name was on a prayer sheet because somebody loved you and is praying for you, where David's name is on a prayer sheet, and it still is every week. And we're going to keep on till God brings him back just like he did you.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah goes right there. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep praying. Why? That's what we're filling our boat with. It's buoyant. Man, when you fill your boat with these things, trouble's still coming. Storms are still going to blow. But when your hull is injected like that Ranger boat with the Word of God, with the right kind of preaching and the right kind of singing and a good prayer life, it's hard to sink that puppy. Remember I said in Mark chapter number 4, their boat couldn't go down because of who was in it.
Yes,
amen. None of us are indestructible.
That's right.
But amen. Buddy, we're something to be reckoned with when we're full of the right stuff.
Amen.
What's filling your boat tonight? That's the good stuff to fill your boat with. Let me tell you some bad stuff that'll sink your boat. If your boat gets full of these, it's going down. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Over. Shipwreck. Sin will sink your boat. Sin will sink your boat. We mentioned this morning, I'm just going to hit these right quick, but sin will sink your boat. Listen, in my boat, and in the boat I've got now, it's not automatic, but in my old bass boat, my old tournament boat, it had something called a bilge pump. How many of you know what a bilge pump is? It's a pump in the back of the boat, and my old one had an automatic bilge pump, had a little float, and it detected. I didn't have to check, didn't have to look. It knew when water was coming in my boat. And it would automatically kick on and it would pump the water out faster than it was coming in.
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus gave us one of those when we got saved.
Yeah.
Our problem is we failed to cut it on.
Yeah.
The sin needs to go out quicker than it's coming in.
Amen.
Amen. One night we had fished a two-day tournament, Brother Tony, and we got back to we were staying at a hotel, about 40 of us, staying at a hotel that was right on the water, and something happened. I was a tournament director. I had a bunch of paperwork and all this stuff to do, and so I didn't get a spot on the dock that night, so I just beached my boat up on the bank, and we went in, went to bed, and I had the battery chargers on, and we got up. During the night, it came a flood. I'm talking about a rain. I walked out of the hotel that morning, and the only thing that had the back end of my boat completely underwater was it hit the motor, and the motor was holding it up. But my boat was full, several hundred gallons of water. But you talking about impossible to deal with, you know what happened? My bilge pump had quit. My bilge pump had quit. My defense against what was coming in had quit. Amen. Some of our defense against what is coming in has quit or just gotten absolutely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Those pumps are designed for so many gallons per hour. And if you got more gallons coming in than you got going out,
amen,
it's going to catch up with you.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we ought to confess our sin daily.
Yes,
you know what that stuff does? It piles up.
Yeah.
And the more it piles up, the harder it is to get out. Man, we bailed my tournament partner, Brother David McKenzie. He had a 5-gallon bucket, and I had a 5-gallon bucket, and we bailed, and we bailed, and we bailed, and we bailed. Finally got down where we could see the bilge pump. I was crawled down in the back of the boat, and David had a, and I know this is nothing matter to y'all, but I'm trying to make a point. David had a flashlight, and I was down. I said, there's the problem. There's a little, what do you call those little connectors for the wire that you pinch with the pliers? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The little butt connector. Is that what they are? One of the, it had come loose. and the power source going to the pump was disconnected. I rehooked. As soon as I stuck the wire inside that little connector, it went boom, it came on and started spitting water outside the boat. What happened was my power source got cut off. Hey, God gave us a power source that is bigger than our sin and bigger than our faults and bigger than our failure. Hey, just make sure it doesn't get disconnected. I do not believe there is a sin anybody in this room has committed that God will not forgive. Amen. We get it all the time. You just don't know what I've done. I don't care. I don't care. I say it all the time. We got drug dealers. We got drunks. We got whoremongers. We got adulterers. You name it. They're sitting in this room tonight. But we've got a God who's bigger. Are you listening? Sin will sink your boat. Let me give you this one. This is one of the biggest ones I see, which it's sin too, but self. Self will sink your boat. My biggest problem is the man I shave every day. The man I look in the mirror. Brother Freddie's not my problem. He's Shelly's. Amen. Yeah. She said amen. She never says amen. She said amen. I'm kidding. No, she did. Hey, you start getting full of self, it won't be long. You're out. How do I know, Brother Eddie, if I'm full of self? Has it always got to be about you?
Yeah.
Are you upset when your name doesn't get mentioned? Are you always got your feelings hurt? Does people have to be careful around you? You're so full of self. You're so full of self. Here's the way I look at it. I deserve to have my feelings hurt. Probably a lot of times when people talk about me, they're right. You too. It can get blown up and carried away, but basically, especially if it makes you real mad. If it makes you real mad, it's probably true. You'd get on the altar and empty yourself of yourself. Remember that little acronym, J-O-Y, joy? How do we have joy? Jesus first, others, and then you. Amen. We're supposed to prefer ourselves over one another. Or prefer one another over ourselves. I got that backwards. Amen. That's hard to do. It's hard to think more of your neighbor than it is of yourself. Why? Because that flesh doesn't operate that way. And you've got to battle it. When you feel self starting to rise up, you better cut the bilge pump on. And say, God, I'm getting touchy again. I'm getting my feelings hurt all the time. Amen. I had a lady in my office, a couple, they were going through a divorce or about to. And here's what she said. He just doesn't make me happy anymore. He's not meeting my needs. I said, that's not for you to even think about. She said, what? I said, your job's to make him happy and to meet his needs. She said, what? I said, let me say it again in English so you'll understand. Your job is to make him happy and to meet his needs. And if you'll make him happy and meet his needs, chances are he's going to make you happy right back.
Amen.
Amen. I said, it's a two-way street. Amen. Somebody, I'm not happy. Big deal. Join the I'm not happy club. Man, we live in the world. It's full of junk and heartache and, man, misery. Hey, you're going to have them days when you just ain't happy. Amen. My job is not to worry about whether or not she makes me happy. And I don't want to sound like I'm bragging on myself, but I believe she'll tell you, it's almost to the point I aggravate her. I go out of my way to please her and to make her happy. Why? That's my job. I go out of my way to give her what she needs, what she wants and desires. Amen. And I don't worry about whether or not she's giving me what I need. But as long as I give her what she needs, she gives me what I need. You understand that? But you got to get self out of the way. We got people sitting here tonight swole up with hurt feelings. It's because you're full of self. So-and-so done me wrong. I know. And that's going to happen as long as you live. Well, I'm going to find me another church. You're going to find out some of their families there. Oh, it might be sweet for a little while, but they'll get to know you. Y'all okay? Everywhere you go, man, if you want a church where you won't never get hurt, go to the one that ain't got nobody in it. Just start your own little church. Trying to remember that joke, my mind went blank about the guy who was stranded on the island, and they found him. He's stranded on a desert island all by himself, and there's three little huts he had built. They said, "What's that hut?" He said, "Oh, that's my house." They said, "What's that hut?" He said, "That's my church." They said, "What's that other church?" That other hut. He said, "That's where I used to go to church." Amen. That's about the way it is, isn't it? Especially in this part of the country. Amen. I'm telling you, there are places where you don't have many options. Amen. Self. Let me give you another one. It'll sink your boat. Sorrow will sink your boat. Sorrow will sink your boat. Dwelling on something bad too long will sink your boat. Now, Solomon said there's a time to weep and there's a time to mourn. But there's a time to get up and dust yourself off. You remember when David was praying in sackcloth and ashes over the baby and fasting? And the Bible said that when they got the news that the baby was dead, that he got up and cleaned himself and ate. There's a time to mourn. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of heartache. I felt it myself. I watched my little grandmother, her cousin Glenn, that owned the catfish den, when he died, they were close, very, very close. And I watched my little great-grandmother, my grandmother, I sat there in that funeral and watched her weep and cry. Oh, man, I'm not making light of that. When our loved ones die, it hurts. It hurts. But we're not supposed to dwell there forever. If something happened to Sister Angie, I'm going to need y'all because I'm going to be a basket case. I really would. I really would. I'm one of those people I couldn't marry again. I ain't got time to train another one. Amen. No, quite honestly, I don't think there's another one out there that could put up with me.
Amen.
Amen. But man, I don't know what I'd do without it. So I'm not making light of mourning, but there should be a time when you say, okay, I'm still here and I'm here for a purpose. I know a family, and I love them, and they're my friends. But I watched a death in their family destroy their family. Years and years and years ago, the death occurred, and it's still affecting them today. They're still in mourning. They're still in mourning. Everywhere you look, it's like a shrine to the one who died. Again, I'm not making light. But there's a point, and I believe the family member who died is in heaven, and they're probably in heaven saying, "Come on, Mom. Come on, Mom. God don't want you to live this way. God don't want you to be in misery and at the same time put the rest of your family in misery." Every year on the date of that death, it's a big, big deal. I'm talking about happened years ago. Over 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Sorrow, if it's not walked away from at some point, turns into an obsession and depression. You get so used to it that you don't know how to live any other way. And you turn into an ongoing pity party. Sorrow will sink you. Amen. And we've got some people who've gone through some pretty tough stuff. I mean hard stuff. But there's a point in time we need to say, okay, Lord, with your help and by your grace, I'm going forward. I can't dwell there because it kills me. Amen. If something happened to my wife, I'd have to move. I couldn't live in that house. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. I'd have to start fresh. I just couldn't do it. There's a time to move on. I don't even know why the Lord gave me that thought today, but somebody needs to move on. Somebody needs to move on, get over it. But please don't, I'm not making light of a death. I'm not. Some of you need to get over some of them hurt feelings.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I had two buddies who were friends. One did something to the other one. He lied to him. I mean, just told him a lie. They still don't speak today. Years ago, somebody ought to just get over it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to get over it. I've told the story about me and Sister Barbara fighting out here. I won too, by the way. Me and Barbara got in a fight. Hey, we're buddies, man. You know what we did? We had to get over it. She screamed at me and I screamed at her. I used to have a temper. I really did. God took that away from me. I mean, I'd flat out lose it. And she caused me to lose it. It was her fault, every bit of it. Man, before the sun went down, we got over it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're closer today than we ever were.
Amen.
Don't let the devil take what he's trying to fill your boat up with and sink you.
Amen.
Get it out. Amen. Turn that spiritual bilge pump on and pump it out.
Amen.
Pump it out. And I promise you, you got a pump that can pump faster than whatever's coming in.
Amen.
Amen. Sin will sink your boat. Self will sink your boat. Sorrow will sink your boat. Now listen carefully, and I'm done. Stuff. Stuff will sink your boat. Amen. Stuff will sink your boat.
Yes.
Some people just got too much stuff. Hey. Somebody said, I don't know why God don't bless me with this or that. Maybe he knows he can't. Maybe he knows if he gave you that thing that you just think you have to have, that you wouldn't live for him anymore. Well, why does so-and-so have money and I don't? Because they can handle it. You ever watch those shows where they go back to them lottery winners years later and they're broke, bankrupt? They showed a couple in Atlanta a while back. I love that movie, that show, Extreme Makeover, the home edition thing. I love that. I think that'd be the coolest job, man. Go around and just build people a new house. And some of them families are deserving, you know what I mean? It's a blessing. But there was a family in Atlanta. After they built the house for them, gave it to them, went and took out a mortgage on it, and lost it. They couldn't handle what God had gave. They couldn't handle. I've seen people get a new boat and be out of church a whole summer. And chances are, if you're out of church a whole summer, you'll be out of church a whole winter. Are y'all all right? I've seen the Lord give people four-wheelers and ATVs and jet skis and place on the lake and all that, but boom, gone. Got to be careful. Man, if God gives you something, be thankful, but do not let it get bigger than Him. Do not let it get bigger than Him. You've got to keep that thing at bay. It's been a long time since I've told it, so I'm going to tell it in closing tonight. When God called me to preach, I had something bigger than me. It was my boat. I loved to bass fish. I really dreamed that one day I'd do it full time for a living. And boys making big bucks. I loved it. I could do it all day, every single day. And the Lord started dealing with me about serving Him full time. I was on my job, on my little bus that we turned into a work truck at the Board of Education. And I was praying about it. And the Lord said, you want to serve me full time? Sail the boat. I said, Lord, not the boat. We'll sell anything, not the boat. It was clear as a bell. A bass boat's not a sin. It's a blessing if you handle it right.
Amen.
But God told for me it had to go. I said, Lord, if you really want me to sell the boat, let somebody approach me. I'm not even going to put it up for sale. If you really want me to sell that boat, I'll do it, God, but you let somebody approach me. I got up off my knees out of that van, ate my lunch, went straight to the bus barn to fill my van up with gas. And a guy came out of the shop and said, "Hey, preacher, you still got that boat?" Yeah. I said, "Lord, if you really want me to sell that boat, let him agree to pay this ridiculous price tag I'm going to put on it." Kind of like Brother Wayne Simmons with the orange golf ball. You remember that? I said, "Everything's for sale." He said, "What you got to have for it?" And I told him. It was a good bit more than probably what the boat was worth. He said, "I'll bring you cash tomorrow. Bring it to work with you." You remember that, Randy? Just like that. God said it needs to go. And it did. And years later, when I could handle having one and it not getting bigger than God, He gave me one. So sitting in my garage, or my shed right now, under that much pollen. With a flat tire on a trailer. Now, if I'd have been used to, but there wasn't no pollen, they wouldn't a fly land on my boat. I come home from a tournament at midnight, driving way in from Oconee or somewhere. I'd be in my backyard washing that boat and putting the cover on it. That's how bad it was. I get ready to go fishing. I'll fix the tire and spray the pollen off, and me and Chase will get her done. Amen? Y'all all right? Why did God let me have that? I was out on visitation one day. Brother BJ, I'd borrowed his boat. I love borrowed boats. Amen? That's the best kind. Somebody else makes the payment. Amen, Brother Tony. Then Brother BJ called me, and he said, "Preacher, I'm going to sell my boat." And I said, "Really?" I said, "How much?" He said, "Well, I'll let you have for what I gave for it." And it's ridiculous. He gave me his boat. He just basically gave me his boat because his father-in-law basically gave it to him. You know what the Lord said? "Okay, you're big enough now."
Amen,
you'd be amazed what God, if you'd give up for God, what He'd give you back later.
Yes, sir.
You'd be amazed. Stuff will sink your boat. Amen. It'll sink your boat. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What's filling your boat? Ashley, y'all come and get us a song if you would. We'll have a verse of altar call.